Proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. We are live from PoucherCon 2018 here in, what city are we in again?
St. Pete, Florida,
my home state, and sitting in here with a lovely room of people who are going to be coming and going as we're broadcasting. But first of all, I want to introduce to you my guest co-host for today is New York Times bestselling author William Myers, Jr. Hi, Bill. Welcome.
Hi, Pam. Thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did this last time in New York and had a great time, didn't we?
We did.
So what I want to do is invite everyone to come on up, bring your chairs up, because we're going to talk about your books. You're going to tell me who you are. And I'm going to start right here with my friend, Ryan. Hi, Ryan. Welcome.
Hi, Pam. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell your name, tell your books, let's hear all about you. Everybody, come on, move in, let's have fun.
Hi, my name is Ryan Aldrich. I'm from Prince Edward County, Canada. I write two series. First book I'm out is Rum Luck. Ben Cooper wakes up in a Costa Rican jail cell to find he's bought a bar on a beach.
That's happened to me. Yeah.
I hate it when that happens.
Right?
I really, really do. And I also have a interactive story game coming out later this fall.
Oh, that's new since I talked to you last.
Yeah, it's by moments, choice of story, and we've gotten big in the past month, years. It's like a graphic novel, you see it often, to a point where it branches out, and it's branching stories. And you know, bring that back in, take that out again, at the very end,
before in the air. So we're kind of in a crunch time for some of the authors who are going to panels. Reid, you have to talk because you're like the big honcho in the room right now. So introduce yourself and tell about your book.
It's a very small room.
It's a nut so far, but it's getting bigger.
My name is Reid Beryl Coleman. I have 30 published novels. I'll get it right eventually. The biggest mystery about me. I have written several series, but I guess I'm best at writing. You know, don't ask me if I know Tom Selleck. He would know fellow. No, but it's a great honor. Character. And Larry takes one finger, puts it on his pulse, and says, "Not yet."
Line. I'm turning the microphone over to Bill Myers, who's, you're in a hurry? Who's in a hurry? Who's in a hurry?
I know you're in a hurry.
Come on over and have a seat. Three things.
Hi. Three things about me.
Kieran Che, I know you started out with crime, then you went to science fiction, and now you're back with crime. Tell us about that journey.
I started out writing And after that, I wanted to get back to crime. You know, I just all of a sudden, you know, after all pop rock. And I find next, not so far in the future, take like about 5 or 10 years.
Nate.
Hey, thank you for stopping in.
Yeah.
Are you going to be up here? Where are you going?
Well, it's like this. It's like I was just explaining that in that the crime fiction community, you've got someone on a panel published something early on.
You got to go back and pay for it.
Pay them back, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you came. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, this is Bill Myers again. And one of the things that Kieran told me was that in the crime community, the writers tend to be very supportive of each other. And people who aren't established, nobody knows, can come to somebody who's published a lot of books and ask for advice, and you're going to get some advice, you're going to get some help. And in some of the other genres, and I won't say which one, it's more insular, it's more backstabbing, it's more competitive. And what I've found, and I think you've all found the same thing too, here at BoucherCon, you can come up to anybody and start talking and ask them their story and how they got into writing, and they're happy to tell you, because we're all doing the same thing here, and we're all, in a sense, we're competitors, but we're not really competitors, we're cooperative competitors, because if people read books, they want to read all of our books. Mark, do you want to tell us about your journey?
Sure. I'm self-published in 2000. Since 2008, at least one or two books every month. I think about that, and you could talk about how people work together, but next novel came out, 80 people, I think it was, hey, another book, I, you know, and so someone of the second novel can have someone like Brad Parks. I write the Vultures as the first book. And it's the name for one.
That's Mark Sadler, by the way, so Mark didn't say his last name. Come on over and talk in the microphone for us.
I'm very shy.
Yeah. Name and book, so just in case someone else you are.
My name is Laura Littman. I'm a
Hi.
Hi, what are we talking about this evening? We're talking about you, whatever you want to talk about. Laura actually and I were going to talk on an interview. And I think you got sick or were moving and you lost your electricity or something weird happened.
All of the above, maybe?
It could have been. So Sunburn has been a huge success. It's a wonderful book. Thank you very much for writing it. Tell me how your experience has been here.
Well, I only got into BoucherCon yesterday.
I've missed a few.
Sometimes when I have insomnia, I learned this from reading an Alistair
Wife.
That you play this game where you do like an alphabet game,
right.
And you just pick a topic and you try to, and it will put you to sleep. So sometimes though at night when I'm trying to put myself to sleep, I see if I can name all the BoucherCons I've been to in order.
And I'm too old to be able to do that, Laura. Sorry.
But I bogged down, but actually I can pretty much, I can pretty much do it. It's like,
are you on panel this year, today?
I am on two panels today.
Tell us what they are.
I'm on the Liars panel, where the panelists tell two stories. One might be a lie, one might be true, both might be lies, but both might be true. And so I have my two stories ready to go. And then this afternoon, I can't even remember the block.
Oh my God.
My daughter is moderating. And at one point, when we're having like all the email discussions, I said, do we know what this is about? And Larry Block wrote 50 minutes about 50 minutes.
Everybody's got a Larry Block story today. Are you enjoying yourself?
Always. You know, I teach every January at a conference at Essex College that Dennis Lehane created because Eckerd was his alma mater. And January 2006, I'm every semester. I stay out of bed and breakfast the whole faculty out of block. I've formed some of like the profound friendships of my adult life through Eckerd, and Andre III. That Andre's father and James.
Isn't that amazing?
And so this is like Alice. She's.
I
don't have a problem being a fan, and I myself am a rabid fan girl. And I mean, I think there are people.
Spans everything.
Yeah,
yes.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. So I talk about it that way, but I also think reader encompasses more than fan.
Right.
You know,
right.
Fan is part of being a reader, but it's not. Right.
So one of the things I was talking to, I can't remember who it was, Stephen James on Monday, Tuesday before I came, Tuesday, Wednesday before I got here. And I said, if I go and buy your book, and when I buy books, I buy hardcovers because I have a massive library of books, and I love them. And it's true, I get a lot of books from publishers, too. But I give you my $28 for the book, you know, I go to the bookstore, and then I read it, and I love it, and I tell all my friends about it. Am I obligated to do a review for you?
You know, maybe it's because I got into this business so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 20 years. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not very fixated on that. You know, I see people talk about these issues of please review online.
Right.
I want to be sure to
right.
Writers such as Roxane Gay, I'll say, not for the writers. Go there as a writer, but you know, go there as a reader. So I don't ever ask anyone to do anything, you know, other than to, you know, buy me wine and french fries. I'm like, if you really like my book and you see me,
you're on.
Buy me wine and french fries.
Well, I do like wine and french fries.
So I'm sure it's a good thing, and I know that we've, I know that we're all encouraged now to do whatever we can to amp up pre-orders,
mm-hmm.
and pre-orders have become a big deal.
Right.
But
I think Amazon kind of cleared the deal for everyone, didn't they? You can't,
that
your book doesn't get seen unless you've got so many reviews and so on and so
it's
forth.
It's a big topic.
It really is.
What Amazon has sent to, but okay, so I was having this conversation tonight, and you know, there was a school of people not even 4 years ago who were telling me the books were done.
Right.
The hardcover, that the physical book would be gone, that what they called legacy publishing would be gone. And they were so wrong. Amazon has done some great things for some writers I love and admire, and it's fantastic. Good for them. You know, go for it. They're a publisher, too, now.
They are, too.
And there was a shakeout. I read this.
Yes, they are. Sure. Well, it's like Mitch Kaplan from Books and Books, who continues to add on more and more bookstores. Adam is now producing film. He has his own imprint and everything else. I want to say to everybody else in the room, if you don't know Laura Lippman, she's won like every award known to man. If you really have a question you want to ask, please do, because this is your expert here right now talking. Anybody have questions? Tom, you're one of the hosts in our network. Tom Pitts from Skid Row Chatter.
I'm running out from my morning panel.
There you go.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I was just thinking, but I didn't realize you were here. Bro was here. I was at a party house. That Ro took me, and you'll be happy to see his little happy friend face floating through the lobby.
I can't wait to see Ro. It was his birthday yesterday.
It was. Yeah.
So I have a great story about Ro. So I'm already driving to 2000. And it was like, I was like, oh my God. And what I had done was I just picked out, really want to score coconuts. And I had brought cookies, and I was standing at the end of the parade route and handing out cookies for coconuts, and it was working really well. And then I was in the Treme at a friend's house at a party, and I'm standing out on the street, and this lovely French man, like, comes over to me and says, "Are you Laura Lippman?" Like, this never happens to me.
Right.
But Ro is this huge crime reader, and he actually recognized me, and he, like, takes me across the street, he gives me good wine and a proper glass, and I met.
Oh, yeah, that would be Ro. I would be Ro.
Sally, his wife.
Right.
I met his best friend Mario, and Mario's wife Emily. I know them all up today. And I'm across the street partying, and my husband's
Well, I will tell you, you'll be happy to know that we are BatcherCon is going back to New Orleans.
I am so happy, and it's in August, I know, which is not. I've lived in New Orleans enough now that I
talk to Heather about it, because Heather's the one who always pushes for New Orleans. So
I'm happy.
Got a problem, tell her.
Oh, no, I'm happy. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, I'm thrilled, too, because I didn't get to go. Yeah, well, I'm not thrilled with August because, you know, I live here in Florida. It's a horrible month. It's so hot, and it's at the height of hurricane.
New Orleans, I know.
Laura Lippman, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm going to give you that because you would on your clock again sometime soon. Thank you, Laura. Lisa, come on over. I love talking to Florida writers. Lisa Black is one of Florida's best. She lives here in the area. Tell us all about yourself and your books. Oh! You haven't had coffee yet?
No, never enough coffee. My current series is the Gardner Writers series. Maggie Gardner is the prince. It's basically the prince. As I am a forensic specialist here at Cape Coral, although I used to be a prince, like the coroner's and homicide detective Jack Renner, who has a little sideline that nobody knows. Sort of bad.
kind of a la Dexter type of a thing?
Somewhat, but Jack does it because he thinks it's right. He doesn't enjoy killing. He doesn't get fancy about it.
An ethical serial killer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, in his view, if you feel sorry for a rabid dog, he don't like dogs, but hates dogs, but responsible thing to do to shoot. It just has to be done.
Have your character call me sometimes.
So
I think I know
killing
people like
animals.
Dogs. Yes. Right. Never mention
killing. We can kill all the people. You can kill babies and toddlers if we want, but don't ever kill an animal. And I'm fine with that. So that's what the series is about. The most recent suffered children. At least it takes place. facility, and I don't even have children, so I had to talk all about violent adolescents and current trends.
Let me ask you a question. This is Bill Myers again, and I'm a writer. I'm a budding writer. I want to ask you a writer question. Your protagonist, over time, has she grown as a person, and has she grown in ways that you didn't foresee her growing?
I have a really tough time. I'm not a growing as a person kind of person. I kind of like, but at the end of the very first book, she makes a decision that is still funding and she's not thinking. So she's really in a dilemma right now. Like every single day she has to wake up and think. How would justice really be served by that? So every single minute of every day, she's in a sort of ethical dilemma that she can't figure out a way out of. And at some point,
do you foresee her turning him in, or do you foresee him somehow maybe getting caught?
Yes.
No spoilers here.
My agent, when I was writing the first book, he kept saying, can't we make Jack scarier? Can't we make him scarier? And I said, if he's a monster, then there's no question about how the book's going to end up.
Sure.
She's going to catch him. She's going to turn him in. She's going to make a pithy little speech about law. And even though I really am a Law and Order incredibly obese person, I'm total milquetoast. I just could not end the book. Like I almost
a cop out, isn't it?
I almost would have not written the book if they had insisted that I ended. And so then it turned out to be a series. And so I did not ever said I told you, but I think.
Has he ever made a mistake and killed a person he thought was a truly bad person, but it turns out they're not quite as deserving of death as he thought?
No. He has not made a mistake yet.
Okay.
And yeah. I keep considering that, but it's like that's what you think should happen because it usually happens. So I'm not sure yet whether I will ever come out.
Okay. Which is the more fun character for you to write?
Pass the microphone over. Hi. Introduce yourself and tell everyone who you are.
But it actually started out as a romance. The MX teacher said, I think it's time for something to happen. And
there you go. Before, I'm going to ask Jim Clifford to come on over, and actually we'll pass the microphone over. You're already rushing me to a panel. Okay, well, talk for a minute. You and I talk a lot about writing. Now, you have a couple new books coming out. Talk about those, please.
Oh, this is a little more exciting.
Yes. Why did you decide to rewrite Junkie Love? It's how it happens. I mean, that's, you get your stories from life anyway. You have a new standalone, and are you finished with Jay Porter? Have we kind of seen?
Yeah, I mean, I love Jay.
You've never done it on this show before.
So, it's very dear to me. He's a character. He's he's trying to get what I was moving. Find him very frustrating. His immaturity. I need myself holding him. I'm pretty much off into that teenage thing. I'm just doing that.
Oh, you're looking through your kids, and you are training them just like Judge Parenting Skills for 101 is teaching his kid not only how to say fuck you, but how to smell it. How's Jack coming along with it?
Jack's doing well.
There you go. Off to your panel. I will see you in the afternoon if possible.
Can I pass my hobo?
Pass it to the hobo, for sure. The hub of Tom Pitts, who is also the host of Skid Row Chatter. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Thanks for the endearing question. By the way, I just got handed this.
Don't you take my books without signing them?
Yeah.
Those are mine.
Hang on to this puppy. This is the only one with the cover like this, you know.
I know.
It's someday going to become important to me. I have several books out, but I have a new one coming out. All 101 this November, and rush out and buy it. All my books are not a series. The common denominator in my books is that they're usually written about people on the lower rung of the criminal ladder, and because that's where I came from, and that's where the crimes really takes place. I mean, I know in the real world, you know, they're not cat burglars sneaking into windows and stealing jewels. It's about people that are driven to desperation by drugs. And they put themselves in the terrible circumstances they're in, and that's so I try to keep both feet on the ground in my books. And this one's about a guy who goes to hide out at the pot farm up in Humboldt County, and of course the trouble he's hiding from comes to find him there. And for Mike's speaking of parenting, BJ just called the parenting panel. I went up to Humboldt County and stayed on a pot farm with my son, who was up there working the illegal trade. He was half a gangster. And got some quality research on, and end of that story is it went legal. And Logan had to find a real job now. he got a real job.
Tom, you're not a believer in writing series. You like doing standalones, and you're.
Well, I'm watching to shake your ground here because there's so many people that write series. I don't want to do my tirade against series, but I have issues with the series. I think it's an odd, you know, there's so many of the sales, and I measure this a lot just by seeing that if I look at the series and I see the number of reviews, for instance, Amazon, we're talking about Amazon reviews, diminish with each book, and but yet publishers are really hung up on that idea that if you have one good book, you've got to turn it into a series. And I don't think it's always necessary. There's obviously series that work, and there's series that are great, and there are famous ones that we can all sort of point to. But for a lot of writers, they have, I mean, you know, just out of the room now, I get to talk about him while he's not here. He had the Jay Porter series, and he kept on giving his standalones to read, and they're great. And so for years, he's been sitting on these books, and glad they're finally coming out, all three of them, with Down and Out, because I like his standalones. I don't mean to single him out, but I'm not a serious guy. I'll read them, but I don't think I can write them.
Do you think that for writers, you're writing series it limits you, that you have more freedom if you're writing standalones and have brand new characters?
Personally, yes. And it's not, you know, there's a simple, well, because all the guys died then, like, what's a Kennedy series? But for me, it's one story. And I like the completely fresh take on each time out. But, I don't mean to slam anybody who writes series. I think it's my issue with it is not the writers, it's the publishers who try to pressure writers into, no, we don't want you to stand alone. We which character in this is going to be the series? I've been asked that, you know, about my books. Like, well, you know, my agent, which one is going to be the? And it's like none of them. You know, I'm already writing a new book, and it's something different, and they don't necessarily need to tie together.
Do you ever fall in love with one of your characters enough that you want them to survive more than one book?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that. Yeah, I fall in love with a lot of them. There's a really evil guy in American Static named Clayton, who's the most heartless bastard I've ever written. And, he doesn't deserve a second book, though. But thank you. I'm going to sneak out of tank, so I got to.
That's okay. We're going to pass down to our other another host in the network, Matt Coyle.
Matt Coyle.
From Crime Corner. Hi, Matt. Welcome.
Hi, as someone who writes series.
Don't take my book.
What
Tom.
Is your take on that? Oh, sorry. See, I do the same thing.
I know.
My take on that would be, I understand yours. It's first of all, I'm not concise enough to write one. Okay. And obviously, how is, for my guy, Rick Cable. How the damage in each book carries that over, and how it affects him in upcoming books, and how he is trying to make things better and generally makes things worse. So right now he's at a very low point. Right now I'm trying to kind of face it to a level where I'm trying to make him a human being by the time I'm not sure how that'll go. Anyway, so what was your
panel on?
My panel was a PI panel a couple days ago. It was fun. I just did author speed dating. I recommend for any author you can get into that state. They don't, it's not a first come, first serve, where we choose people from the whole name that I've had. But when you come to these conferences, you know, you spend a lot of money. And it's a great opportunity to, any kind of time you can get in front of readers, it's a great opportunity just to be aware, to go around and talk to tables of about 6 to 8 readers, maybe 16 to 20 tables, and you can spiel for about 2 minutes. So, it's really great. Like I said, you spend a lot of money doing these things. If you can talk to that many authors, a lot of them don't know who I am, especially when I get my name tag like that. Sorry, radio listeners, and you can't see my name tag.
Very good. Do you have any questions you want to ask us? First of all, I want to introduce J.D. Allen, who just finished her last term as chair of Boucher County.
Right.
So,
thank you.
Has been a spectacular chair for how long have you been with the board now?
5 years.
So let's go ahead and hand the microphone over. Tom, have a good panel.
I got that.
That's okay. Hand the microphone over, and you can get to interview J.D. Allen.
J.D., also known as the keeper of the key, but we won't get into that.
So in the last 5 years, how have you seen BoucherCon grow and change?
That's a really good question. I walked into the Raleigh BoucherCon as a volunteer, and the chair was leaving. I said, oh, by the way, can you take a step?
Wow.
So there was a lot of I was trailed by fire straight at the top. What we've been trying to do is move us forward as an organization that used to be the
So what if you could say, like, in one sentence, the mission of BoucherCon is what? What's our mission?
Our mission is to stand prepared.
Okay, so
it's organized chaos. For people in the radio, it's organized chaos.
Mr. Connelly is on his way over to do, and when he comes in, I have 5 minutes, so I'm just letting you know.
Oh, so bigger name on the other line.
Yeah, you
get
the
book.
Yeah.
You can ask him questions all you want.
Know.
She gave me offer.
But anyway, our mission is to stand and and it be a tribe.
Too is, you know, either like you, we're the conference junkies. We go to a lot of different places.
That's half the word, my husband.
But the fact of the matter is, you come to VoucherCon, and everyone has said, you know, how do we dress when we're going to St. Pete? I said, no, it's when you go to VoucherCon. You come casual. You know, what a difference from New York, right? When we were there. So it makes a huge difference when you come here. Everybody's now, the writing community is very approachable. Anyway, when you're in VoucherCon, this is like you're sitting down with your next door neighbor, and it's really
something else.
What are you going to do now that you're not, you know, running the
show?
Do? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, close. I'm the psychological thriller in the other guy.
You're carrying on that series?
Yeah.
Say the name of your first
book. 1912.
Great book. I read it.
It's an awesome book.
It's
an awesome book.
Thank you. I think that the second one is Skin Game, and it's coming out in February, and the third.
Nice. So, very good. JD, will you hand the microphone back to Libby? Libby Fisher-Hellman is also a former host in the network. She now is a television host, besides being award-winning thriller writer. Hi, Libby. How are you?
Hey, Pam. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
You're just talking to JD, and now you're taking a place.
They've lost their minds. Not only did they elect me to the board, they made me their treasurer. I can't count two pennies in my pocket.
I'm going to have to keep very close eyes.
Please do. When they're hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Come on over. We're just doing round robin right now. This is Libby Fisher-Hellman.
Yes.
You have a new book out.
I will have a new book out in November. It'll be my fifth Georgia Davis book and my 16th novel in all. And it takes place 14 after election. So, for all of you that went,
absolutely. I want to also bring up another Florida writer who's one of my favorite people of all time. Craig Pittman is a journalist. He is the, are you the environmental journalist with Tampa Bay Times?
Yes, that's correct.
And he also wrote a book called Oh Florida. Now, those of us who have spent our life here in Florida, and I'm born and raised in Miami, know that you don't have to go very far for inspiration for any kind of a book.
That's true.
So Craig has a book called Oh Florida that absolutely, he swears, is because Florida guides the nation on everything else.
Yes.
Talk about Oh Florida, and also let's talk about your book and what you're doing and all about it. All about Florida.
Okay.
Tell us about
it. I'm a native Floridian, and I grew up thinking California is the weird state. But the more stuff I saw, the more stuff I covered, I started realizing, no, we're really the weirdest state in the world. You know, we're the only state with the Florida top of it.
cameras in courtrooms because two crooked cops and a ham radio operator. Their discussions about how they're ripping off the business. And you know, the very first Native American tribe opened a gambling hall.
You're probably the most humble man, and I know you're a very private man. But you are also a Florida person, right?
Yeah, I live across the bridge from here.
I have your new book. I love that you added Harry together with me. I think a character is probably smarter than him.
I hope so.
So for those of you who don't know, the late show is up front. Anthony, if he doesn't get it, it's a crying shame.
No, it is.
You have an audience here filled with people who want to know something really important. What would you tell them about the writer?
Really important? Mm-hmm. So many things are important. You know, if you want to be a writer, you got to write. All the things I can say are cliches and adages, but they are such because they're true. I think the best piece of advice I ever got was here in Florida, at the University of Florida. I had a writing teacher, Harry Cruz, who talked about how so many people say they're going to be a writer. He said, basically, if you're going to be a writer, you got to write for 15, or at least 15 minutes. And it was weird. 15 minutes, why 15? You can only get to it 15 minutes a day. You'll always be churning your story in your head and keep it alive. And, and he really meant every day. Sunday was whatever. So I'd say I have done that for many years of my life. I don't do it now. Now I've come to a place where I like to take maybe a week or so between drafts and try to figure it out. And put it in a computer, but I just drop writing and do something else and try to clear up my head. And then I come back with fresh eyes or close to fresh eyes when I'm a second.
This is your last call. Two last questions. This is your helmet.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Well, that was a book I wrote a long time ago. But like you're saying, show, don't tell. See, everything is sounds like a shape. It changes. No, but just see, I had a bad situation with a supervisor and saw that she had one of those tall drinks on her desk that Starbucks or something. And so when she got up and left the room, he wouldn't leave, so she dismissed him by leaving herself. He's his hip and her best. You know, in his opinion, probably my opinion, your best do things the same way over and over. So she knew exactly how to get by that desk. So he goes out to the elevator and then he hears her hit the desk and drink to her computer. So.
Anybody else?
There's a lot about his character.
This is Bill Myers, and I wrote Legal Thrillers. And your Lincoln Lawyer series, I think, when I write a courtroom scene, I try to do a good job as you do. They really inspired me. When you write the courtroom scenes, you really seem to nail what the lawyer is thinking, the roller coaster nature being in court, how things can turn really good or bad fast. How did you learn that? How did you portray that?
I'm a reporter at Park, and I haven't been a reporter in 27 years, quarter of a year. Mr. Pitt, it's good to see you. I write my books like a reporter. I spend time with the people that do that, so I can't take credit for how things happen in the courtroom, because I have two lawyers who vet my Lincoln Lawyer books, give me a lot of the ideas and send them every draft and say, what have I, can I expand that I have right? What would you do? What would you say? What can go wrong in this scene? Because you do always, you don't want stuff to go smoothly for a character. That was it. I watch those every page. I love writing, it's funny, it's an irony, I guess. I love writing courtroom scenes, but when I go into my Lincoln Lawyer books, I will be always kind of a thing.
Anybody else? Man?
One question for you about the legal lawyer. Talk about how that idea came about. Yeah, it was just happenstance. So many things. Who was it? Mark Twain said the harder I work, the luckier I get. I had a lot of luck. And the whole, you know, just inside like a motor bus, the whole franchise came because I was based opening day, which is always on a Tuesday, and day, so they put me come over to downtown, see a lot of guys in shirts and ties because they're going to get back to work. And I was sitting next to one of those guys, and hopeful it was the first day, they haven't been paid attention. So I was with a stranger, and he told me he's a lawyer, and he said he's a criminal defense lawyer. I said, criminal defense lawyer. He led to me seeing where he's in your office, and he said, I'm working on this. And it went from there.
Michael Conley, in a master class.
Thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you so much. Who has not had a chance to talk? Come on over here. Give your name.
Upward.
Wait a minute. I want to also say thank you to Andrew for being here.
Good luck following that.
That's okay.
Yeah, thanks for having me follow the headliner.
Right now, I need someone to find oxygen for me.
I think
you're
on the seat dating, and we have no oxygen left to
get. Hi. Come on in. Have a seat. Everybody who's not been on, are you leaving for a panel?
No, I'm ready to come on.
Bring your chairs up if you don't have a chance. Hi, Frank. Welcome. You're on.
Hi, I'm Dale C. Phillips, and my tagline is Scary Books and Murderous Crooks. I do know scary, as well as the criminal side, because I had Stephen King as a teacher back in college.
Oh, wow.
And he was my writing instructor, and sitting in his living room while he's going over my stories, and I thought, this is pretty cool, and I guess I kind of have to become a writer after that.
And then to continue the scary, I met Alex Trebek when I was on Jeopardy.
I thought I recognized you.
Tell us about the protagonist.
The protagonist is Zach Taylor, and he's a man with a very bad past. Tragedy, he's got a load of grief, he's got guilt, he's got this bottled rage that he's always kept inside him. And he's lived in the shadows, not during the daytime. He knows the nighttime people and the criminal element. When he goes to Maine to investigate the death of a friend, he starts going off the rails.
You know, all the controls are gone, and you wonder what's going to happen next. This man is just a bull in a china shop. Relentless in his search for the truth. No matter what that leads to, his own personal injury and possible death, because he doesn't like guns, doesn't use them, but he goes up against people who do. But it's a direct homage to the John D. McDonald's Travis McGee series. As I did a lander, we had trying to do the same with John D. did in Florida. The forces of greed and corruption,
trying to come in and crush the locals and roll right over anybody in their search for more money, more power, more land, whatever that may be.
The American dream.
Yeah, unfortunately. And what Jody was writing like 50 years ago is still going on. And Maine is, in some ways, almost 50 years behind the time. As I go to here, I can tell you, there's a lot that hasn't been developed. And now these forces are coming in and starting to do that. And you're seeing the same thing over and over again. And this is the kind of thing that Zach is trying to fight, always trying to become a better person, despite the odds. But he's not real good at this. He's imperfect.
Wow, that sounds exciting. Do you want to build on what
he
said?
I'd love to. Thanks, Dale. So, like Dale, I'm from Maine. She finds out that he works for Charlemagne.
in at 2 o'clock. I want to thank Britton Haller for bringing every great author in here. I want to thank William Myers Sr., Matt Coyle, and the rest of my co-hosts today. And stay in on your books. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.